Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and open them with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians, chapter 3, and we're beginning in verse number 7 tonight. We've been going through the book of Philippians on Wednesday nights, a journey of joy, and so that's what we're looking at. And tonight we're looking at the journey of construction. And you say, wow, in the world, how do we have a journey of joy out of the journey of construction? Well, we can as we go through this wonderful little book that the Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippian believers there at Philippi, keeping in mind that Paul is chained in shackles in Rome in prison, in this writing and sharing with them how they can have joy along the way and all the stuff. And he's been writing about them and introducing things to their trials and their sufferings, and that they can have joy and then to continue to have joy even in spite of his sufferings and his imprisonment, for them not to worry about that and not to worry about him, that they can have joy. And then he wrote a little bit about Timothy, and he shared with Timothy about Timothy, and then he shared a little bit with Epaphroditus, and then they said about his life a little bit and got us up to where we're at now as to how we can have joy. And they were so worried about Epaphroditus, you remember, that he was sick unto death, and yet he was concerned about them worrying about him. And that there can be joy and his service unto the Lord, and how they were all bringing joy to the apostles' heart, how they would bring joy to each other, and they're serving one another and trusting the Lord through this, and that Epaphroditus, in spite of his sickness and illness unto death, he wasn't a quitter. He didn't stop and quit serving God. He served God in spite of his severe infirmities, and through that, God lifted him up and gave him grace, and then in the meantime, gave Paul grace. And so you see, there is grace in serving God, and God raises us up. And he talked about some examples to believers, and he used some young men there like Timothy and them to talk about them. He talked about the maturity and the marks of a healthy church. He's talked about the marks of a believer, the great Christian believers. He's talked about unity and trials and all of these, and that we can experience joy. When we come to chapter 3 now, and we get into this passage here that we're looking at this evening, Paul kind of changes the course now, and he's going to talk a little bit and share about himself. He's going to share about his life and the experience of life that he's had in serving Christ, and that how it can be a wonderful journey and a great experience of joy in one's life in serving the Lord. And so that's what he's going to share about here. He's going to share his thoughts. He's going to share his heart with them. He's going to share everything about them. And he's going to tell us how to do that. That's what I like. He gives them some instructions. You know, he's going to tell them about how this great life of serving Christ is, and the joy of having served the Lord. And even in spite of being shackled and chained and in prison, you can still have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Church, do not let circumstances and situations dictate to you your joy in the Lord. Okay, circumstances are going to change all the time. Situations are going to change all the time. But the joy of the Lord doesn't change. You can have joy in the midst of the worst trials and storms that you could ever go through. There is peace and joy in the midst of the storm. All right? And we're not talking about happiness. That goes up and down like, and we're not talking about happiness. That goes up and down like a yo-yo. You're happy one day and you're not happy the next day. You walk into work tomorrow morning and, oh, Brother John or Sister Sue is so happy. And then, man, and then the next morning they walk in and don't anybody speak to them because they are not a happy camper today. Right? And everybody thinks sometimes that money can buy happiness. Well, it does for a short time. And then once it breaks, you're not happy anymore. Once it's wore out or somebody steals it, you're not happy anymore. See, that doesn't, see, so we're not talking about happiness, we're talking about joy. Talking about having joy when you're in prison and chained to a Roman guard. We're talking about joy when you're waiting there for your sentencing on death row to have your head cut off. This is where the Apostle Paul's at. Nero's going to take his head off not too much longer from now for serving Christ. And then he's in prison and chains in Rome there. And so yet Paul just talking to his Philippian brothers and sisters. And let's pick it up again reading in verse number 7 of chapter 3 tonight. But what things were gained to me? Now, he's talking, how many of you ever had anything gained to you? Anybody ever gotten any gain? You've had gain come to you? All right, now listen to what Paul's talking about here. He's talking about his life now. He's going to share testimony. He's going to give testimony to his real life and what real life of experience is. Paul's going to give a personal, he's going to get personal in this chapter with us. He's going to talk about his life. He's going to talk about it very practically. He's going to talk about his own life and example. He's going to talk about how he wanting the believers, he's wanting these Philippian believers to enjoy the same experience and life that he's had and that he's enjoyed in the Lord. And so how do we do that? How do we have the same experience? How can we have the same joy tonight that the Apostle Paul? You say, well, that's Paul, and that's not me. No, wait a minute. Paul was just a saved man like you are. Paul was a man that had temptations just like you. Paul was a man of flesh just like you. Paul was a man that killed Christians, put them in jail, persecuted the church until he met Jesus on the road to Damascus and got a new life in Christ and got changed. But he still had a lot of problems on the way. Everywhere he went into town, they tried to kill him. They tried to stone him. They threw him in jail. They whipped him half to death. He spent nights in the deep, shipwrecked, you name it. I mean, this guy didn't have a very joyous journey in serving Christ, but at the same time, he was a man that said, I can have joy unspeakable and full of glory serving the Lord in spite of my circumstances, in spite of the situations that I'm facing. You see, don't let them dictate to you your joy with the Lord, okay? And don't let the devil steal your joy, because he will if he can, and if you'll let him, he will. Don't need to do it. So we're going to see how to do it here as we talk about it. So let's go. But what things were gained to me? Notice what he says. Those I counted loss for Christ. Can you say that tonight? Can you say everything that you've gained? Can you come to a place in your Christian walk in life and say, I count it all lost for Christ? In other words, it doesn't mean a thing. Well, that's where we need to get, where we need to be. Yet doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, verse 8, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I don't have to explain to you what dung is. You hear what Paul's saying? You're getting right down practical here with us. And he found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here it is. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings. And you see, we don't have that crowd today. Most of the televangelists you see don't want to associate with the sufferings of Christ. Hello. Being made, watch this, being made conformable unto his death. Wow, what a testimony. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, he's not talking about the resurrection of a dead body here, okay? And hopefully we'll have time to get into this. We may not. All right? Not as though I had already attained it. See, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't attained. Either we're already perfect. In other words, I'm not mature completely. I'm not the perfect man. He understands what he's saying. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. 13, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing, notice, I do. See, it's something you got to do. Okay, you got to do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. See, if you're going to have real joy tonight, church, you got to put the things behind you in the past and leave it. And you got to press for the mark. Notice where he says, he continues on. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? So let's take a look at it, first of all, right here. This journey of construction of joy in the life of Paul as he wants to help you and I on how to do it. How to obtain it. And I think it's great. What Paul devalued. Paul devalued some things. Do you devalue some things in your life? See, if you want to get to the place where Paul's talking about in your Christian life, if you want to get to a place where you can experience what the apostle is experiencing, if you want to get to a place where you can experience what the apostle is experiencing in your life and in my life, and we can. We don't have to be an apostle Paul, but he is an example for us to follow. He's someone someone to look up to as a mentor, that he could mentor us in the Lord tonight in this area of having joy along life's journey. And how did Paul do it? In spite of the fact of being, and you remember one time Paul says, I know how to be abased, I know how to have, I know how not to. He said, I've had it all and I've not had it all. And whatever state I find myself to be into is to be content. So what did Paul devalue in verses 7, 8? All right, let's take a look at it. Well, notice what verse 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what, church? He's a new creature. What happens? All things are passed away. And now, behold, all things are going to become new. So what were some of the things that Paul devalued? I think in verse number 7, we see that Paul devalued human religion. He devalued human religion. In other words, rituals and ceremonials and all of that stuff. And of course, and if anybody knew anything about religion, Paul did. Paul was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Pharisee. He was of the letter of the law. I mean, if anybody had religion, Paul had it. But Paul came to a place where he devalued religion in his life. He counted it but lost. He put those things behind him and moved forward into a relationship with Christ, not with a religion. Hello. He devalued human religion. If you don't think so, back up with me. Look at verses 4 through 6 with me in chapter 3. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. Now, if anybody could have confidence in the flesh, Paul could have, of who he was and what he was. If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, Paul says, notice, I more than any of you. He even said that to the apostles. I had more revelation than they did. I spoke in more tongues than they did. I did all of this. I mean, you know, if anybody could toot horns, circumcision, he's given religion here. Here's doing, all right? I was circumcised the eighth day. I was of the stock of the house of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, I was a Pharisee. Are you with me? Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. You talk about a religious man. But Paul came to a place where he says, how did he come to this place of joy and knowing joy in Christ and experience this in his life that the believers here at Philippi could do it and you and I believers here tonight can do the same thing. He devalued human religion. You got to devalue human religion. You got to cast it out and cast it aside. Human religion is not going to save you. Human religion isn't going to give you a home in heaven. Human religion isn't going to forgive you of your sins. Human religion isn't going to get you anything but dead, lost without Christ, and buried in a grave only to spend an eternity in the devil's hell. And Paul said, I've learned to devalue human religion. In verse 7 and 8 there, we're back in chapter 3 there, verse 7 and 8. But the things which were gained to me, what were gained to him? We just read them. I just read to you what was gained to Paul in verses 4 through 6. He said, I counted those things, all that religion, lost for Christ. Wow, that's something else. So he devalued a human religion. I'll tell you something else he devalued. And in verse 8, we find that he devalued relationships. Relationships. He devalued relationships. Yea, doubtless, I count all things. How many things? All things. Now we're going from religion to relationships. I count all things, relationships, but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Sometimes there's some relationships we got to give up. Sometimes there's some relationships we need to give up for Christ. Remember, old things have passed away. That means all the old friends that want to pull you down and pull you aside and pull you back into the flesh and the things of the flesh and the ways of the world, all that, you got to let that go. or you're never going to have real joy in Christ if you want to hang on to that. Paul says, I let that stuff go, man. I count all of that as lost. All this religion I had is lost for Christ. I count all these relationships that I had. And I mean, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a member of the Pharisees. I mean, my good, the man was on the Sanhedrin. I mean, I count all of that relationship for lost so that I may have the excellency of Christ. And church, sometimes we got to cut out some relationships that are not good for us. Hey, listen, if that relationship is pulling you down, you need to count it off for loss. If that relationship is not causing you to grow stronger in the Lord and closer to the Lord and a deeper and more spiritual walk with the Lord, then you need to think about cutting that relationship out. Now, it's getting quiet in here, but I'm trying to help you. And the Word of God's going to trying to help you tonight. You can't run with the Lord and run with the devil too. Sometimes, folks, we just got to cut some relationships out because old things have passed away and all things have become new. You can't run with the old crowd. The Bible goes pretty clearly into Corinthians with that pretty heavily. Paul says that we can't have fellowship with darkness. What fellowship is there with light and darkness? Well, you know, we can't have fellowship with those that are running in the lost crowd. We become unequally yoked. So forth. We're to come out from among them and be you separate, saith the Lord, and not touch the unclean thing. You see, if those people and those relationships are not lifting you up, not drawing you closer to Christ, you see, not causing you to get stronger and to grow in your life and mature that he talked about and become that mature person, then you need to give those things up for Christ. So that you can gain the excellency of Christ. What's more important in your life? A relationship with Christ or a relationship with the lost crowd over here? That's going to damage your testimony, pour you down, and everything else and so forth. See, now you need to, sometimes we just have to, we got to cut the ties. And by the way, Paul talked about it in Corinthians. You know, he talked about that crowd, if they're this and that and an adulterer and this and that and blah, blah, blah. He said, you know, not to, and then he said, if a brother be any of these things. He said, don't even go out to eat with them, let alone run with them. Amen. I told you Sunday, remember, being a Christian's tough. It's tough. It's for only the chosen few. That's why many are called, but few are chosen. You got to draw the line in the sand somewhere. Amen. And that's what Paul's doing. And he's trying to help these Philippian believers so they can enjoy the joy that this man had in his life and this relationship that he had with Christ that was far beyond anything he could compare it to. He said, there's nothing greater than this. Even while I'm shackled in prison for Christ, I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And yeah, I'm waiting my sentence to have my head cut off. It's not going to be long. And Nero is going to pronounce the judgment to kill me. And they're going to take me out here. And they're going to chop off my head thinking that they're going to stop me from witnessing for the Lord. They think they're going to stop me from preaching the gospel. But I want to tell you something. 2,000 years later, I'm still reading what Paul had to say. Amen? You can't stop the Word of God. So praise God. Oh, human relationships. John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That was Paul's desire. All right, so we see that Paul devalued some things. He devalued human religion and all that it stands for, okay? So I don't need to go into that anymore, right? And he devalued relationships. He counted them all lost, that he may gain the excellency of Christ. What do you want more better today, church? A solid relationship with Christ or the world? Or a relationship with Christ or with religion? A relationship with Christ or even the church? See, we've got to count all things lost. Everything I've gained, lost. It's nothing but a bunch of dung. You can go to Darlene's house and every morning go on that patrol. And Miss Sharon will lead the way and show you how to do it. Amen. All right, so what did Paul desire? All right, he devalued some things, then he desired some things. And I want you to notice the first thing he desired. Look at verse 9 with me. And he found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. Now see what he said when he says he found in him, he found in Christ. That's what he's talking about. He said, I found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law. See, Paul's righteousness was of the law. But that which is through faith. See, he found in Christ true faith, true righteousness. It wasn't in the law, it was in Jesus Christ. Okay? Of the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. All right? So Paul desired some things in verses 9 through 11 here, and I believe the first thing he desired was a new position. He desired a new position. Look at verse 9. And what was that position? He desired to have the faith of righteousness, which was by God. This position he now had was not his righteousness, but it was Christ's righteousness through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That was his position now. I am righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. I stand righteous before God through my faith in Christ, not in my self-righteousness in the law. I've got a new position. Now, if you're saved tonight, church, you got a new position. And your position is in Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, all right? So a new position. Ephesians 2:12. That at the time ye were without Christ. Now, how many of you were like that at one time or another? One time or another, we were all in here without Christ. Amen? Come on, talk to me. Okay, you weren't born saved. Hello. You were born a sinner. Okay? And you're a sinner by choice. You're a sinner by a birth. You're a sinner by nature. Okay? That at the time I was without Christ. See, make it personally. Being aliens. I was aliens, not aliens out there in space, all right? Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenants of promise. Having no hope and without God in the world. Paul said, that's what I once was, but I now have a new position. And my new position now is in Christ. Woo! Hallelujah. Having predestined us to the adoption of children, Ephesians 1:5 and 7, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Listen to how powerful these verses are. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's a new position. Okay, in whom we have, talk to me, church, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's a new position. Paul said, my desire is I have a new position, and that position is in Christ through faith. Hallelujah. For he hath made him to be sin for us. That is Christ. God made Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You have a new position tonight, and that's the righteousness of God. You stand righteous before God tonight because of your faith in Christ. That ought to give you joy. You see, you've been rebuilt. See, that's why this is a journey of construction. God took an old sinner like Paul and rebuilt him. Made him a new creature in Christ. Gave him a new position. Gave him joy unspeakable and full of glory. Gave him a new desire. Wow, I tell you what, that's some building, isn't it? What an exchange. Don't you think all what he's talking about, all this is worth losing all the other stuff? He says, everything I have gained, everything I have in religion, all that it had to offer, all the relationships I had, I counted as dung, lost that I might have gained the excellency of Christ. Well, what did I gain in Christ? Hey, man, I gained a new position. Woo! Hallelujah. I have a new purpose. I have a new purpose. Look at his purpose. His purpose here in verse 10. My new purpose, that I may know him. How many of you want to know him? I mean, really know him. And notice about this knowing him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Paul says, I have a new purpose now, and that's to know his power of his resurrection. And how do we know that? What does Philippians 4:13 tell us? I can do all things through Christ, which what? Strengtheneth me. He said, I want to be conformed to his death and the fellowship of his sufferings. Where do we hear that today from all the televangelists out there? Where's all these clowns out there that are getting filthy rich? I don't hear them standing up saying, man, I want to conformable to the death of Christ and his sufferings. Matter of fact, they're going to preach to you that it's not God's will that you and I suffer. That is false doctrine and false teaching. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome. Okay? Jesus said, in this world they hated you, but they hated me first. Jesus said, they killed me, and they're going to kill you. Okay? The Bible says that all them that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So I got a feeling it's God's will that we do have some suffering. And Paul says, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Okay, that's the power. But also I want to know, be conformable to the sufferings of his death. We're talking about the cross. Wow. Can we get to that place and say that? I mean, can we really come to that place? Do you realize that Paul came to a place in this, and we may get to it, I don't know if we will or not, but Paul said one of his desires in prayer was that he was so burdened for Israel, for his fellow Hebrews and Israelites, that Paul said if it would be possible, he said, I would literally go to hell that Israel might be saved. I want to ask you, can you pray that today? Can you and I pray that today? God, all I'm knowing that you have taught me and I've learned to know about you, and everything is here, and what I've learned about hell. I was thinking about that today or yesterday in my study with this. And I said, wow, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. And I said, I'm thankful I'm not going. But as I think about hell and the flames of hell and the torture of hell, I don't know that I could be as sincere as Paul and say, God, I'd be willing to go to hell that America would be saved. Would I be willing to give up heaven, to give up eternity, to give up all that heaven has to afford so that America could be saved? I said, God, I don't know if I can get to that point in my life. And then Jesus said, son, I haven't asked you to die for me. I've asked you to live for me. I took care of the dying so you wouldn't have to. What a prayer Paul had there. Oh my, his purpose. Look at this, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, how many suffering today? Anybody going through some suffering? I don't care if it's physical, mental, social, doesn't matter. We all have sufferings of some type or another, okay? Paul says, I reckon that these sufferings at this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Listen to Paul's prayer. Here it is. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren and kinsmen according to the flesh. Accursed is to be damned into an eternal hell. Paul said, I wish that I could go to hell if it meant Israel's salvation. Wow. What a purpose Paul had. He had a new purpose, to know the power of his resurrection. We all like that one, don't we? I want the power. God power. Well, you do if you got the Holy Ghost. He's the dunamis. That's where we get our word, English word, dynamite. You are dynamite. You got power. Wonder-working power in the Holy Spirit. But then you see, that's where we all stop. Oh, I want God's power, but I don't know about this suffering thing. I'll let George have that. He's better at it. I'll let Armin have the suffering. I don't think I want to go that route. I'll let Sharon over here have the suffering. She can have it. I want the power. Well, it's okay to have the power. But remember, you get the power, you got to have the suffering. They go hand in hand together. All right, so we find Paul had a new purpose, and that was to know Christ, his power of his resurrection, and the suffering of his death. Verse 11, he had a new perspective. Look at his new perspective, verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Now, he's not talking about the resurrection of the dead body. He's talking about what the resurrection of the life of dead and trespasses and sin to a new life in Christ. Okay? Okay, he had a new perspective. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, you see, by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in a newness of life. See, Paul wasn't talking about being resurrected from the dead. He was talking about being resurrected from his old life to a new life in Christ. That I may attain and that new life in Christ, and I obtain it through the resurrection of the Lord. You see, I died with Christ. You see, I identified with Christ in his death, and I died with him, and my sins were nailed to his cross. I was buried in that watery grave, and I raised to walk in a new life in Christ by the glorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's what I've attained, Paul's talking about here. He said, man, my perspective, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Boy, what a perspective he had now on life. New perspective of life. So there we see that. Well, then let's take a look at Paul's devotion right quick. Verses 12 through 14. All right, his devotion. All right, so we looked at his what? We looked at what Paul devalued. What did he devalue? All religion and everything it had to offer. He devalued all relationships and all that had to offer. He said, I count all that loss. He said, I count it all but dung that I may win the excellency of Christ. Amen? Isn't that what we looked at? Okay, then he said, my desire now is a new position in Christ. He said, now my desire is to have a new purpose in life. Wow, my good. My desire now is I have a new perspective in life. I have died with him. I was buried with him. I've rose with him now to walk in a new life because of the resurrection. Tell you, there's joy in that, folks. No matter what you're going through today, tonight, or tomorrow, next week, you have a new life in Christ. You are buried with him, you have risen with him, and you're going to glory with him. Hallelujah. There may be a little suffering along the way. Matter of fact, there may be a lot of suffering along the way. But none of it compares to what Christ went through. None of it compared to what Paul went through. And Paul says, all that's going to seem like nothing when we see his glory, what he has waiting for us. We have glory. Paul says, hey man, Philippian believers, don't worry about it, man. I've got glory to look forward to. God had all this suffering I'm going through, all this prison and chains, and yes, I've been told that my head's about to come off, but hey, that's nothing. My head's going to get cut off, but that's nothing compared to the glory that awaits for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. Glad I'm going to heaven. Quit moaning and groaning and whining and crying about everything. Man, we got heaven to look forward to. We got glory to look forward to. And by the way, what can they do to you? Can kill me? Hey, I'm already dead. I already died with Christ and been resurrected. Hallelujah. And you can't kill me no more. Amen. Glory to God. Is that song says, ain't no grave going to keep me down? Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. But let's look at his devotion now. You see, he devalued some things, which gave him a new desire. See, we're not going to have a new desire until we devalue some things. See, we got to devalue some things. And we got to devalue some relationships. We got to devalue all what religion has and everything and all things. We got to devalue all that stuff. Can't take it with you. You realize everything we own and have right now, if the tribulation started, it'll all be burned up. And you can't take it to glory because God doesn't want any of that junk there. Why would he want our brass and steel and copper and corrosion and rust when he's got nothing but gold up there? I'm going to live in a mansion made out of diamonds. Woo! I'm going to walk on streets paved with pure gold. I'm going to have a 216-foot high wall around my city just for the safe of it, for the fun of it, to know that I'm protected from all the demons out there. And every gate around that city is made out of a solid pearl. Wow! The 12 foundations of my new city is made out of the 12 precious stones of the high priest's breastplate. Oh my goodness, how a big giant prism with all the glory of God shining through the prism, shining through the diamonds. Woo! Hallelujah. Wow, what you got to live in. My goodness. Man, we may be poor. We may live down by the shack and drive an old beat up Cadillac. But bless God, one of these days you're going to live in a mansion in glory. You're going to fly. You're going to think it and be there. Who cares about an old Cadillac? Or an old jalopy? Or an old, for some of you, I know some of you just can't wait to get an old Hudson. And Armin's looking forward to an old Edsel. Oh my. And some of you want an old Studebaker. Oh my goodness, Lord help you all. I'm going to fly around in a Phantom spacecraft. Amen. I won't even need that. I just want to do it. Paul's devotion, right? That's where we're at. Amen. First of all, his devotion, his dissatisfaction. Look in verse 12 with me. Paul's dissatisfaction. He says, not as though I had already attained. Either we're already perfect or mature or complete, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul was dissatisfied with his life. Are you with me? Now, not in the negative sense, okay? Are you with me? Because all what he just said he had and what we got. But what he was dissatisfied was where he was, what he was dissatisfied, church, is we can't get to a place where we become complacent and we can't get to a place where we become satisfied in our Christian life and Christian walk. We got to move on. We got to move on to the high calling in Christ Jesus and press towards the mark. We haven't arrived yet, my ladies and gentlemen, and we won't arrive until Jesus comes. So let's not get satisfied. Let's be dissatisfied with where we're at. Let's do more for Christ. Let's get more on fire for Christ. Let's win more souls for Christ. Let's build his church. See, don't become complacent what we have. See, no more of this us four and no more. We get satisfied and then we're going to get lazy. And then we're going to become complacent. And then we're not going to do a thing for Christ. And like some of you old southern hillbillies will say, we won't mount to a hill of beans. Amen? Amen. We need to be dissatisfied because there's always room for growth. He said, I haven't attained perfection. We haven't got to that place of completeness and full maturity yet, folks. We're still moving on and going forward. We still need to be growing in grace in Christ. Don't become satisfied. Be dissatisfied where you're at. God, what more can I do for you? Lord, where more can I serve you more effectively? What more would you have me to do, Lord? Amen. Amen. Man, Paul says, I've come to a state of decision here of dissatisfaction in my life. He said, now the devotion here, now's the time to do it. Now's the time to live the real Christ, a life in Christ. Not just desire it. See, not just to devalue some things, not just to decide to desire some things, but now it's time to get real. Now it's time to get moving. Now there's that devotion. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. You don't compare each other. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Don't compare yourself to someone else. Don't get in this competition thing. We don't want that in the church. We don't want competition. We don't want somebody's a better player, better singer, better flute player, brother trumpet blower, whatever. No. We don't want any of that. We're all the body of Christ. And we're all here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with the gifts and talents he's given us. Amen. And like I said, when it all comes down and boils down to it, folks, when it comes to the foot of the cross, we're all standing on equal ground. We're all standing on equal ground. None of us have arrived. None of us are perfect. None of us have reached complete maturity, complete perfection and completion, because that won't take place till Jesus comes in the clouds of glory. So we've all got flesh, we've all got cooties, we've all got pimples and warts and all that kind of stuff, and nobody around here has been called by God to go around and inspect them and pop them or burn them off. Amen? You got to understand that? Amen? All right, we're all in the same boat with the same paddle, rowing up the same stream together. Praise God. Let's not be satisfied with where we're at. Then look at his direction in verse 13. Paul, in this devotion he had to Christ, I don't want to be satisfied with my life. Lord, I'm even dissatisfied where I'm at with it right now. I haven't reached there. I haven't arrived there. I need to move forward and move on. And he says, I've got some direction in life now. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended this, but this one thing I do. Here we go. Here's direction. Are you watching this? Forgetting those things which are behind. and reaching forth unto the things which are before. Church, we got to forget what's behind and move forward. You can't undo it. You can't take it back. It's history. It's over. It's time to move forward. It's time to put those things behind us and move forward. In your family, in your relationship, in your business, it's time to put those things behind. Don't let the devil beat you up with something that happened 30 and 40 or 50 years ago in your life, or even what happened yesterday. Yesterday is history. It's over. You need to move forward to tomorrow. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Looking forward to coming what God has for us. We've got some direction. You see, God has given you and I some direction. He said, there's one thing I'm going to do. I'm going to forget those things that are behind, and I'm going to reach for the things that God has for me up along the bend. Now, I don't know what God's got for us, but we got to reach for it. Put it behind you. Move on. Get off the stump. Quit letting the devil beat you up. Well, I want to remind you what you were. I want to remind you what you did. Oh, you remember this and you remember that. And oh, you remember these habits and you remember this sin and that sin. Look at him and tell him where to go. Okay, first of all. And then tell him everything he's throwing up at your face. Just start laughing and say, I want to let you know something, bub. All that is under the blood. It's been washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's been forgiven. It's been parted as far as the east as the west. Buried into the depths of the sea. Never to be remembered against me again. So beat it, bub, and get out of here. You're not going to drag me down, not relationships. Don't let relationships drag you down. Putting those things behind and move forward. And you're not going to let the devil drag you down of throwing up all your old past and sins and guilt and everything you didn't do or did do or didn't do. And no, we're going to move forward. We're onward Christian soldiers marching as to war. Oh, praise God. We got some direction, folks. As the hearth panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee. Look at his direction. Oh, God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Are you longing to come before the Lord? Are you longing to be in the presence of Christ? See, I've got some new direction, folks. I'm not going to stay on this planet forever. I'm leaving. This world is not my home. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen? This world beckons me, but heaven's my home. I'm going to glory. You got to get on the glory train. All right? The glory train's moving. You got to get on the train. Okay? That's where we're going. We got direction. Our direction is heaven. Our direction is the cross. Our direction is the gospel. Our direction is to reach the lost and win the lost. Our direction is to evangelize the world for Christ by whatever means we can for whatever time we have left for Christ to reach our world for Christ. We've got direction. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come. I love this. This is Jeremiah. Remember when they were building the wall and they wanted Jeremiah to come down and have a conference and all this stuff? I love what Jeremiah says. Church, we got a job to do. We got work to do. Look at this. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work. We're doing a great work for God here. Amen. It may be, I'm telling you it is. Because why? It's God's work and it's for God. So therefore it's great because God is great. Hallelujah. So that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Church, why should you and I stop doing for God what he wants us to do, lest I leave it and come down to you? Jeremiah said, I'm not coming down. We got work to do. We're building the wall. We're doing something for God. I'm not wasting time and coming down and talking with you. I'm not leaving this place. We got work to do. We're going to meet forward and go forward for God. We're going to build this wall. And they built it in 52 days. Broke every record there was to build a wall completely around the city in 52 days. And they wanted him to come down and have a conference. Nehemiah said, I'm not coming down. We don't have time for all that. Amen. We got direction. And then he's got determination and we're done. Look at this. Look at the determination. Man, you talk about determination. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What a determination. Get your eyes focused on the goal, folks. Now, this is interesting. And if I can remember and bring it out to you here. This thing. It's going to press behind and I'm reaching forth. Unto the things which are before in verse 13. There's one thing, the thing that I can do, and I press towards the mark. All that Paul's talking about, Paul talked a lot about athletes. And he talked about runners. And he talked about those that pass the baton. and the work. And he talked about the runner that's running to cross the finish line. He's talking about this reaching forth and this pressing forth. That's what a runner would do. When a runner's running an Olympic race and you see that runner, he's coming, and what is he doing? He's pressing towards the mark. He's going to reach the prize. He's going to win the gold medal, the Olympics, and he's running his heart out for the race that he's got to do. And he's running and he's running, and he comes and he's approaching the finish line, and you see these guys run, and they're running and running, and all of a sudden it's like they almost fall over and they stretch out, and out goes those arms, and boom, out goes that head, and the camera takes the picture, and someone won by the hair. That's what he's talking about, reaching forth and pressing towards that mark. Reach out there, stretch out there, cross that goal, go for that finish line, do whatever you have to do to the race, to win the prize. And later he says there's only one wins the prize. When they run the Olympics, only one wins the gold. Now, I don't know what race God has for you, but run it. And run it well. Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody yesterday. Oh, I was talking to another pastor I met down towards Weirsdale near the Villages. And we were fellowshipping. And we were talking about running a race and running a race for God. And we were talking about, you know, getting weary and well-doing. And hanging in here to the end. And, you know, how long are you going to go? And how long, when's the time to retire? When do we quit? And all this kind of stuff. And, you know, we're talking about this race we got to run. And I said, you know, the only thing, Pastor, I want to do is God's given me a race. And the only thing I want to do is I want to run this race. And I said, there's two things. I want to finish it, and I would like to finish it well. That's all I'm asking God. I want to finish the race. And I want to finish it well. He said, oh, you want to hear those words, well done. I said, I don't even want to hear that, preacher. I said, he's a pastor and he's a missionary now, evangelist to Serbia and Bosnia. And he's going into the hot zones and winning Muslims to Christ. And I was just thrilled listening to him. And he had a wonderful prayer for me. He just said, let me pray for you, Pastor, in this journey that you're on in this race. He says, so what is it that you want from the Lord? I said, all I would care about when we're standing there, if he just looks over, that's all I want. Or just looks at me and goes, and winks. He don't have to say a word. Or he's standing there and he just kind of looks over and goes, hey. And just keeps walking, but his eyes focused on mine. You know what he's saying? Good job. Well done. You finished your race. You finished it well. And you see, I don't care if I finish it well in the eyes of the people. I want to finish it well in his eyes. And oh, you see, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run, church, brother and sister in Christ, tonight run. Run your race that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Jesus Christ. You got to devalue some things. And when you do, you'll be given a new desire. And then you'll have some new purpose and new direction. And you'll have new determination. And along all that journey, there will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what our brother Peter tells us. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your precious word, God. Thank you for what it means to us. Thank you for these wonderful instructions and exhortations and encouragements from your Apostle Paul, from the Holy Spirit to our hearts. Lord, help us to devalue some things in our life, to count them all loss that we might win Christ. Father, to count them as dung. Lord, and then relationships, religions, everything, items, things, all of that. Father, help us to have a new desire because of our position we have in Christ, our purpose. Lord, and thank you for devotion. Help us to have a determined devotion to run the race that you've given us, to run it well and to finish. Just, Lord, to hear you wink at us, smile at us, nod your head, lift up your thumb. I don't care, God. It's whatever it is, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we bless your name tonight. And Father, grant us traveling mercies home.